New England Patriots coverage on CLNSradio.com. We want to hear from you, so call in right now. The phone lines are open, 929-477-2386.
What's going on, Pats Nation? This is the CLNS Radio New England Patriots post-game show. I'm your host, Marvin Azan, and I got my co-host with me, Mr. Mike Nice.
What's going on, everybody? That is right. We are here live on the CLNS Radio Network, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for all New England professional sports. Fourth preseason game, Marv, what do we see tonight?
You know, in the fourth and final preseason, the New England Patriots fall to the New York Giants. 17-9 is the final score. By the way, our Blue Apron call lines are open right now. So please call in 929-477-2386. That's 929-477-2386. Get three free meals with free shipping by simply going to blueapron.com/Celtics Beat.
Yes, sir. And we also joined by our guy, Michael Longy, who's going to be holding down the call lines tonight. Michael Longy, what's going on, my friend?
What's going on, guys? How you doing tonight?
Not bad at all. Can't complain. How about yourself?
Not bad. You know, obviously, fourth preseason game, it's kind of a boring game to watch for the most part. It's not boring, but kind of an ugly game to watch, I guess you could say. You know, a lot of guys who might not make the team, stuff like that. A lot of mistakes were made. We saw a lot of fumbles and stuff like that tonight. So not necessarily the greatest game to watch, but I will say I did see a couple things that intrigued me today.
Oh yeah, I mean there's a lot of stuff to take away from this game. I mean, yes, like you said, it's the fourth preseason game. You could kind of say it's a little boring, but at the same time, there is some stuff you have to watch for because you have those guys who are playing for a job.
Yeah, that's the thing. And like guys like, let's say like a DJ Foster, for example, who had a massive game today. Granted, it was, you know, a fourth preseason game, like we said, but I mean, the dude had 9 catches for 110 yards today.
That's amazing. Yeah.
He had a massive game and he looked really good out there. Now he didn't necessarily look like a physical guy. You can tell that he's not a guy who can bowl people over like a Tyler Gaffney, which unfortunately kind of looks like that's the guy they're going to need, you know, considering Deion Lewis will be back eventually and you already have James White. But, I mean, I was really impressed with DJ Foster today. I was also really impressed with A.J. Derby today. I mean, every time Jacoby Brissett dropped back, it seemed like he needed to throw the ball. He threw the ball to A.J. Derby, who finished with 5 catches for 51 yards. You know, and he looked really good. So, and then on the defensive side, Barkevious Mingo, right? I mean,
What a guy. He had a huge game, man. It was very surprising for me. You know, you heard about this guy coming over from the Cleveland Browns. Won a high draft pick. And, I mean, the Patriots take him. And sometimes you never know what guys coming to the Patriots might get lost in the sauce, might get some playing time, might get cut. Who knows what Bill Belichick wants to do? But if there was any chance or anything about not having a role in this team or anything like that, he made a case to have some playing time with his performance tonight.
Oh, he balled out. I mean, we knew coming in, getting Mingo, he struggled a lot with Cleveland. He lacks size as a linebacker. But one thing I know I was hearing a lot is he's very athletic, and he showed us his athleticism definitely during this game. The first quarter, he back to back, you know, big hits caused 2 fumbles, and he was shooting out the cannon going right, straight after the quarterback. He looked very good out there. He looked like a mini Jamie Collins out there. I know it's just preseason, and he's not gonna get that much playing time during the year, but he looked really good out there.
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
think that's definitely fair, dude. I think that's fair because, really, I mean, think about the kind of a draft pick that Barkevious Mingo was. He was the number 6 overall pick. He was an athletic freak coming out of college. I mean, very similar skill set to Jamie Collins. It's just, I mean, honestly, watching the game today, it looked like that Cleveland just didn't know how to use him because he looked like a really good football player.
I mean, yeah, you're looking at a – you're talking about a Cleveland Browns team, and we've seen the type of team and organization they've been running over the last several years. Maybe it's a situation where, I mean, yeah, he was taken with a high draft pick, knowing the amount of top draft picks Cleveland's had over the last couple of years. And maybe a situation where, like you said, Mike, they didn't maybe know how to use it at the same time. You get players who go to teams and they just know that they're playing for a bad team and they're in a losing environment. The organization is terrible. They're not playing for anything. But, I mean, I even heard from the moment he came to New England, I forgot where the interview took place or who conducted the interview, but it was just him talking about, wow, it's such a huge culture shock of just how different things are with being with the Cleveland Browns organization, and then you just come to New England in the first couple of days and people he's met, the way the practices run, the way the coaches are and the other players, it's just a huge culture shock to him being a part of this organization and things. So he might have came here, and even though this is preseason, he probably said to himself, hey, look, I'm putting on this Patriots uniform. I'm representing the Patriots team, organization, and fans. Let me go out there and show them what I'm really all about.
Yeah, man, I think he's going to thrive here. I'll be honest with you. I know it's only one preseason game, but I'm kind of convinced. I mean, he's a guy who you can play at outside linebacker. It looks like he can drop back in coverage and do things like that. He can also play on the defensive line and rush the passer really well. So, I mean, that's the ultimate Belichick guy, right? That's a guy who can do a lot of different things and, you know, make all sorts of different things happen. He's also a guy who looks like he can play on special teams, which we know Belichick takes really into account. So, I mean, all around, I think he's going to be a really good player with this team. Real quick, guys, just want to remind everybody to be sure to subscribe to this podcast feed on iTunes and Stitcher. When you subscribe to this podcast feed, you will also get the New England Patriots News Feed podcast, which gives you daily news and notes on the New England Patriots, hosted by yours truly. You can also subscribe to the Patriots Beat podcast on iTunes and Stitcher as well, our weekly Patriots podcast hosted by Harris Rubenstein. A lot of great stuff over there as well. So be sure to check out both of those, iTunes and Stitcher, whenever you can.
Definitely,
for sure,
I'm definitely looking forward for this week's newsfeed as well. And this game, you know, game four, preseason four, a lot of people in the NFL have been complaining about the fourth preseason game. Is it needed? What's the point of having the fourth preseason game? You know, because players do get injured, and unfortunately with the Patriots, there were several injuries this game, Mike. Let's start off with our starting left tackle, Nate Solder. He came out the game on the second offensive series, I believe, because of his left hamstring. Then we lost our rookie linebacker in Landon Roberts. He was a sixth-round pick from Houston, actually. In the second half, the injuries piled on. Tyler Gaffney seemed to left and go onto the sideline with a foot or toe injury. Then our rookie receiver, Devin Lucien, was helped off the field with that late hit, which was really uncalled for. And then Keyshawn Martin limped off the field in the fourth quarter. So injuries really piled up in this preseason.
Yeah, man, that's one thing that, you know, everybody talks about. I mean, not even just the fourth preseason game. Some people even argue about the whole preseason in general, just like as physical of a sport football is, are those many games need this and that and who should play and whatnot. I mean, it's always going to be up for debate. The preseason games, the amount of games, and whatnot. But yeah, it's just that's why you always worry. You know, fans, especially New England Patriots fans, you're sitting here and you're watching Tom Brady take the field first quarter, second quarter, this many snaps, whatever the case may be. And you're just sitting there watching. And as he drops back, as soon as he drops back, I'm telling you, everybody who's a Patriots fan are they're just biting their nails, hoping that, okay, I hope that he could just make a quick play and just get the ball out, don't take any hits or whatever the case may be, and just have a smooth timeout. The preseason is always time to be scared, but hey, what can you do? You just gotta roll with the punches. If injuries happen and whatnot, then you gotta make the proper adjustments.
Yeah, even when Brady scrambled, when he had that first, he ran for the first down. your heart's just skipping a beat, like, oh, Brady just slide. I mean, he only took one sack, and then I've seen him get hit once after that. But the offensive line did pretty well in protecting Brady. We had this argument last week, right, Mike, with whether Brady should have played. And then now this week, Brady played the whole he played the whole first half, first and second quarter. And I still I'm still sticking to my guns. I don't think I should have saw Brady out there tonight. I would have rather seen Garoppolo still getting some more work, because I'm just not sold on Garoppolo being ready for week one. I would have still loved to see him, you know, get some reps out, at least for the first quarter.
Here's the thing when it comes to that. I hear what you're saying completely. I'm going to just play the part of what maybe the coaching staff and everybody probably were discussing when it came down to what they're going to do with the quarterback situation. I believe that because the Patriots know Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the starting quarterback during the couple weeks, their plan was, we're not going to play our starter for the first 4 weeks of the season. That was what it was going to do. And like most teams do across the NFL, they're not playing their team. So you got who else is left on the roster? I understand in the Patriots, it's a tricky, special situation because the next up is Brady and Jacoby Brissett. Now, the Patriots probably felt like, all right, since Garoppolo's not going to be there, then, hey, give Brady a couple snaps. I didn't expect it to be the whole first half. Was I expecting him to play that much? No, because you would have figured after a while they're going to get to the second, third string guys. So, yeah, did I expect to see Brady playing as much as he did in the first half? No, I didn't. But like most teams do in the fourth preseason game, they're going to play their second and third string quarterbacks. And in this case, for this tricky special situation, that's Tom Brady and Jacoby Brissett. On top of that, which makes this another special tricky situation, is that, you know, Brady's not going to be playing football till October, till next month. So the also probably felt like this is just the last time, you know, Brady's going to be in this game environment, this team environment. Give Brady a chance to play, get some game action before he's off to sit on his couch for the first four games of the regular season.
Yeah, I hear that. And I understand the argument, you know, Brady's not playing until October. Get him some few reps. I'm just not a believer in having Brady play these four games and he'll be Brady playing this preseason and it's going to change how he plays in October. It doesn't really make sense to me. This is a 15-year veteran. He's going to know how to get himself into shape and be ready for week five. But since Tom Brady and Jacoby Brissett played, let's talk about them. Brady went 16 for 26. 166 yards, one touchdown, one interception. He looked pretty good out there. You know, it was typical Brady. Started off slow. He did throw that interception when he forced the ball into Dobson, and Dobson got bodied by the defender and got the ball taken away from him. But I didn't see anything concerning from Brady. Looked typical Brady out there. You could see that in the beginning he was force feeding Edelman. That's what I was telling you earlier, Mike. It looked like
he was
trying to feed the ball to Edelman, which I don't blame him. I guess he's trying to see what how ready Edelman is and what he can do. But it just seems like a little too much out there. And once he got comfortable, the ball started spreading around a little more. Jacoby Brissett, 13 for 21, 152 yards, no interceptions, no touchdown. He took three sacks. But Brissett, these past four games, hasn't turned the ball over and has played very well, very composed, and I'm very impressed in this pickup that we got in the third round with Jacoby Brissett.
Here's the thing when it comes to Jacoby Brissett. Like you said, 100%, I am very impressed on how he's looked. And granted, yes, it is preseason, and when he comes into the game, he's playing against the second, well, not even the second sometimes, maybe the third and fourth string guys. But still, when he steps behind the center and he drops back, he's playing with a lot of poise. He's showing a lot of confidence out there. And like I said, he's out there against third, fourth string guys. But the thing is, just from his performance, Jacoby Brissett does that far off from Jimmy Garoppolo. And Jimmy Garoppolo is the one, I understand he's out for the most part playing against, you know, the first team defensive players and whatnot. And he has mostly all the offensive threats. But if you're talking about individual performance and you look at what Jacoby Brissett and what Jimmy Garoppolo has done, there's not a huge drop-off from there. I'd go as far as saying, call me crazy, but I go as far as saying, if Jimmy Garoppolo, something would have happened to him, the Patriots, there should be no real panic mode throughout New England if Jimmy Garoppolo was to go down with injury. I say just step Jacoby Brissett right up there into the starting lineup with the starter as the starting quarterback.
You might need to sign it.
Hold on, let me finish. Yeah, you might need to, you know, if Jimmy Garoppolo went down in like the first, yeah, you might need to go out and sign another backup quarterback just in case. But I tell you, if it was a case that Jimmy Garoppolo went down in the first game of the season and his status for the next three was questionable, I'd understand that, and I'd also be comfortable with, say, hey, Jacoby, these next three games, you're going to be holding down the fort until Brady comes back.
All right, Mike, I hear what you're saying. You're excited. You're excited about Jacoby just like I am. I think he's very promising as a quarterback. But slow down. If Garoppolo got hurt, you're telling me you wouldn't panic? I'd panic. This is a rookie quarterback who's, you have to understand, is still learning the system. This is not just any system. He's learning the Patriots offensive system still. And you mentioned it yourself. He's playing against third string, fourth string, looking pretty good out there. If he's our starting quarterback because of an injury, he's playing against the first team throughout the first four games. And I don't think he'll be ready for that. And Garoppolo's, you know, this is what, Garoppolo's third year in the system. He's more equipped, more ready. He's seen a lot more looks than Jacoby Brissett, who's only played a quarter here and there. So the panic would definitely be there. Do I think we should go out and get another quarterback to start if Garoppolo got hurt? No, I think Brissett would be our best choice. But I'd definitely be panicking. It wouldn't be that easy for me to say, okay, oh, we got Brissett in the back, we'll be all right.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying as well. But, yeah, believe me, nobody wants to see Jimmy Garoppolo go down. He's been with the team now, studying the Patriots' offense, playing behind and studying Tom Brady. Everybody wants to see Jimmy Garoppolo play and get in those first four games and hopefully, you know, put things on the right track for the Patriots. All I'm saying is, from what we've seen in preseason, yes, it's preseason. Yes, they're playing against different lineups and whatnot. From what we've seen, if Jimmy Garoppolo were to go down with injury, I'd say, all right, Jacoby Brissett, step up, take the mantle and hold down the fort just a couple more games till we get Brady back. We need to maybe bring in somebody else just for insurance, just in case Brissett were to go down too. Obviously, yeah. But I think Brissett has shown enough in this preseason. And I'll even take it a step further. Brissett has showed enough to me in this preseason that, and throughout this regular season, maybe next offseason, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo on the trading block, and you move forward with Brissett as the heir apparent to the throne.
My goodness, Mike is in love with this guy. You really like him?
No. It's not about being in love. What I'm saying is, we have two young quarterbacks. Yes, Garoppolo is going to be the guy. But at the end of the day, something that we not a lot of people want to talk about in New England, because everybody, you know, we all know Tom Brady's the GOAT. He's playing at a high level right now. What I'm looking at is, obviously one day Tom Brady would not be the quarterback of this team anymore. Now, do you hold on? What you drafted two quarterbacks recently, very early in the last two drafts, last couple of drafts, whatever the case may be. Both of them can't be the starting quarterback when Tom Brady's here, when Tom Brady leaves. Who's it going to be?
Okay, so I believe full-heartedly that the Patriots drafted Jimmy Garoppolo, so he could be – he will be next in line when Brady retires. They drafted Garoppolo for him to be the next guy in New England. And the reason why they drafted Jacoby is because they knew Brady was going to be suspended, and they wanted a younger guy to come up and back up, a new guy. You know, Ryan Mallett left, all the other backups left. So they brought in Jacoby Brissett to be that backup, to be behind, learn the playbook, understand everything as a formidable backup. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is the New England Patriots future. That's what they want to be, New England Patriots future. But then again, when they drafted him, they didn't think Brady would be still playing at this level right now, which is the reason why they gave Brady an extension, because they didn't even see this coming to start off with. But I still think that Jimmy Garoppolo is in their future plans to be their future quarterback. Now, let's say let's say Garoppolo goes off these four games, you know, those averages 300 yards, two touchdowns a game. The phone lines will be buzzing for him, definitely. And if we can get a great trade off of that, then sure, it will make sense for the team. Other than that, I think Garoppolo's here for the long haul.
Hey, you could be right. I could be right. Brissett is playing well this preseason. One preseason,
he sure is.
Yes, I understand. He's playing very well. And like you said, he plays. Garoppolo plays well his first four games. The phone lines will be buzzing, and when they start buzzing, I hear everything you're saying. They drafted Garoppolo because he's supposed to be the heir apparent to the throne. But if and when the phone lines start buzzing, Patriots are, I'm telling you, will not hesitate to probably pull the trigger on that, because two reasons. One, Tom Brady still looks like he has a couple of years to play at a high level, which leaves possibly Brissett to learn more behind him, just like any other young backup quarterback has been behind Brady. Well, that's one reason. Two, just based off what you've seen in this preseason with Brissett, yeah, once again, I know it's with third, fourth string players, but just with the individual performance, the confidence, the poise that he showed in the pocket, making plays. Yeah, you have to have confidence to stand up in the pocket and make plays down the field.
Oh, he looked great out there.
And at one point, what was the guy from the last preseason games extended to this one? He made, what, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 straight completions or something like that? That's pretty impressive. I know it's third, fourth string guys, but to throw the ball and make sure you're putting at the right place for these guys to catch the ball, it's pretty impressive. So for those two reasons right there, I think if and when the phone lines start ringing for Garoppolo, Patriots won't hesitate to make a deal possibly.
Definitely. What do you guys think about this quarterback controversy maybe to happen?
Man.
Call in. You know, the Blue Apron call lines are open, so call in at 929-477-2386. Mike, I'm telling you this right now. From here, for this next week, of someone that's going to be talked about a lot here in the New England area is going to be DJ Foster. Alonji brought him up, how impressive he was. The guy had himself a game, 9 receptions, 110 yards. You know, every reception was 12 yards average. That's the first down every time you throw in the ball. Reminds you a little bit of Deion Lewis last year. Same type of player, you know, off the backfield. And the last week we were talking, is this guy's in a bubble? Could he make the team? Did he do enough this week to make this 53-man roster? That's going to be the talk of the town. Did he do enough?
I mean, he showed a lot. And, I mean, yeah, he didn't show up a lot in the first couple of games of the preseason. I think he got mixed in last game. And then this game tonight, it seemed like they threw him out there with the first team, and he was right behind Brady. And he had to play with a lot of confidence tonight, especially, you know, knowing that he's going to get thrown out there with the first team. You're playing behind Tom Brady. This is the guy that's going to be throwing you the ball, handing off the ball to you. And you know he had to make an impact because he's playing for a roster spot. He's playing to stay on his team for the long haul. And especially in a situation where have the Patriots fully thrown all their confidence into James White being the Deion Lewis replacement? I'm not too sure about that. And then on top of that, nobody really knows Deion Lewis's, you know, status. When exactly will he return? How fully ready will he be? The Patriots, and with this offense, they need that shifty, catching, fast running back who can make plays a couple times out of the backfield and then make a couple plays down the field. And DJ Foster showed in this preseason game, even out there with the great Tom Brady, he had the ability to make plays. And if you get Brady, someone sort of like that behind him, you know, we've seen, like we all always say over the years, we've gone from Kevin Falk, we've gone through from Danny Woodhead, we've gone through Shane Vereen, now we've at Deion Lewis. And, I mean, who knows Deion Lewis' status to come back and whatnot, how healthy will he be, whatever the case may be. But DJ Foster could possibly step up into that role. I mean, James White's still there, yeah, and Brandon Bolden gets a couple times in the backfield as well. But DJ Foster trying to make a case to step up into a big role for this upcoming season and possibly the future for the Patriots.
Like you said, the Patriots have some decisions to make. And then you have the guy you didn't mention, Gaffney, who was seemed to be the guy that could, you know, fight for a running back position as well. And then he got hurt today. So a lot of questions out there in this running back field. That's, I think, is the biggest question mark in the New England's roster right now. Who's going to get the carries? And with New England, you never know who's going to get carries. One day it's going to be Brandon Bolden that's going to start. The next day is going to be DJ Foster that's going to start maybe. That's how the Bill Belichick rolls when it comes to running back. Fantasy owners out there, do not draft a Patriots running back, because you never, ever know who will be in the backfield. There was sometimes Mr. Number 81, Aaron Hernandez, was playing running back out there. So you just never know, man, who can play running back for this team.
Another guy
who really impressed me that we haven't spoken on the defensive field was Malcolm Butler. He was tested early this game. He only played 10 snaps, but he was tested early. And he came up and showed up. He was tested twice in the right sideline, one by Victor Cruz and another with Sterling Shepard. And he had perfect – when I say perfect coverage, he had perfect coverage on both deep balls. He's looking really good out there. And it seems like he's not getting the respect that he deserves yet with Malcolm Butler.
I mean, when it comes to Malcolm Butler, you know, for us in New England, we've seen what he can do. Last season, you know, we saw him. We had, you know, the magnifying glass on him and just watching him perform week in and week out. But the rest of the league maybe has not fully taken notice to the ability that Malcolm Butler has as a top elite cornerback in this league. And I remember talking to you earlier, DJ Mees. I don't remember if it was on the Patriots beat or maybe during week one of the preseason. But I remember having this conversation with you saying, you know, when it comes to Malcolm Butler, and, you know, especially when there was the whole contract talk situation going on, you know, should the Patriots have paid him over past the offseason? Should he got paid, whatever the case may be? I still somewhat feel like the Patriots are in a situation with Malcolm Butler where they say, Malcolm Butler, you had one good season. You know, all pro, whatever, you had a great season. Do that one more time, because we've seen one-hit wonders come through New England, and the last one to do it for sure at the cornerback position was Devin McCourty, who stepped out his rookie year. Guy was, like, you know, one of the finalists maybe in defensive rookie of the years, you know, one of the top of the leaderboards in interception his rookie year. Great year. Great year from Devin McCourty at the cornerback position. Came out his sophomore season and absolutely sucked as a cornerback. sucked so bad that they didn't even take a chance with him at cornerback again. They said, maybe you should try a different position because you kind of suck. And, I mean, obviously he's excelled at playing safety. But, you know, we've seen some one-hit wonders with players before. And I think especially here, you know, where Patriots haven't had a hard time really, you know, generating their own cornerbacks. You know, they've had to bring a couple guys in over the last season to try to fill the void there. But they just maybe possibly want to see what Malcolm Butler, you did it one season, come out next year, play at a higher level again. And I'm telling you, Malcolm Butler, he will be rewarded greatly.
Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. They're revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with the resellers and showrooms and passing the savings directly to the consumer. Made right here in the U.S. of A., Casper Mattress provides long-lasting comfort and support, as I know from my personal experience. I've never used a mattress this soft and this comfortable. And you can buy it easily online and completely risk-free because Casper understands the importance of truly trying out a mattress that in all reality you spend a third of your life on. Casper offers free delivery and painless returns within a 100-day period so you don't have to lie down in a showroom. Studies have now proven lying on a bed in a showroom has no correlation to whether it is the right bed for you. Get a Casper mattress for $500 for a twin or $950 for a king-size mattress. An unbelievable deal compared to industry standards that cost thousands upon thousands. And you can save an additional $50 as one of our audience members by going to casper.com/Celtics and entering the promo code Celtics. That's C-E-L-T-I-C-S. The casper.com/Celtics and promo code Celtics. Free shipping applies to U.S. and Canada customers only. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, Mike. So you've seen all four preseason games. Very interesting. One take I can say that I'm very happy about what I like to see so far from all four games is our defense looks ready. It looks good to go, especially with a team that our offense is, you know, kind of questionable right now without having Brady up there. But, you know, we still didn't see Gronk. We haven't seen Edelman really out there a lot. So I like where our team is going. I like how our team looks this year. But we got to think about game one. You know, Patriots, they don't go far ahead. They don't look too far ahead. They think about the next team. So let's talk about the next team. They face the Arizona Cardinals coming up next Sunday, week one, Sunday night, prime time football, Garoppolo's first prime time game. It's going to be big, and it's going to really show where the Patriots are at with, you know, backup quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. And this team is going to be a test. I know I said I love our defense. I even went out and said that I think our defense can be the best in the AFC. And I'm sticking to that. But if there's a team that can test your defense, it's the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, this week one matchup against the Arizona Cardinals, it's going to be a huge test, not only for Jimmy Garoppolo, of course, but the defense as well, because right off the bat to start the regular season, you're playing one of the most high-powered offenses in the NFL. You're talking about a team that has Larry Fitzgerald, a solid, you know, wide receiver over the last several seasons.
Solid? Don't be disrespectful. Solid receiver?
Is that an understatement? Oh, say, sorry. He's been one of the top
solid
wide receivers.
Come on now.
And I tell you this, the only reason why Larry Fitzgerald doesn't get a little bit more credibility and probably doesn't put up a lot more crazy stats that we've seen from different wide receivers over the past couple of seasons is because, you know, his quarterback situation in Arizona has been kind of shaky. You know, he had a couple good seasons when he had connection with Kurt Warner and old Kurt Warner. Then they went through a couple random dummies in Arizona that had Larry Fitzgerald for a time period questioning whether he wanted to even stick around there. And I remember there was a couple rumors floating around about him possibly coming to New England. I know you remember that, DJ.
I was very excited, man. I was on that bandwagon crazy.
And I mean, now that he has Carson Palmer, you know, leading the way, that's a solid guy. Carson Palmer has been a pretty solid quarterback since he's been in the league, whether it be with the Bengals, now here. I know he had a stop in Oakland for a little bit, and now here having a kind of career resurgence with the Arizona Cardinals. So you're talking about that combination right there of Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald. On top of that, they have a couple good, you know, second and third string wide receivers in Michael Floyd. Then you got the fast and the crazy dancing John Brown, who be out there doing all the crazy. I still trying to learn that touchdown dance John Brown be doing. My arms don't move as fast. And then you got Jerron Brown as well, who's backing him up. And then on top of that, you know, with those guys catching it downfield and whatnot, they also have one of the most solid backs in the NFL today in David Johnson, who, me personally, I'm expecting a big year out of him for fantasy purposes. But David Johnson is a cowbell type of running back. You know he's going to get a lot of carries, and on top of getting a lot of carries throughout the course of the game, he's a guy that Arizona trusts, you know, catching the ball out of the backfield as well and making plays down the field. So this is a high-powered offense, and it's going to be a test for the Patriots' defense as well. And then on top of that, you look at their defense. Their defense is pretty solid as well. And, I mean, one guy you always hear about on their defense, well, two guys for sure, is definitely Patrick Peterson, you know, one of the top cornerbacks in the league, always making plays. And then you got a young guy who's just been growing into more and more a vital piece of Arizona's defense, and that's Tyrann Mathieu, who has been balling. I know his season ended last year early due to an injury.
He's been having an incredible career.
But he's been having a solid career, and, you know, they paid him big money recently. He got paid a crazy extension, I believe. I don't remember the numbers exactly, but the Arizona organization, the whole, has a lot of trust and faith that Mathieu will be a solid piece as the future unfolds.
A guy you didn't mention on defense, our guy, their defensive end, Chandler Jones.
Oh, and yeah, forgot he went over there. Wow.
And Chandler, I watched Chandler Jones, the Arizona Cardinals faced Houston Texans last week, and Chandler Jones looks ready. He got after the quarterback. He got after Brock Osweiler a couple times when I watched, and he's in midseason form. You know he has something to prove out there when he faces New England. He's going to really want to come out and get a couple of licks on Jimmy Garoppolo, his former teammate. And so you mentioned a lot of the offensive weapons that the Cardinals have, and that's going to really stretch out the Patriots defense. Now you have young guys in the backfield who are really going to need to play. You're going to need Coleman. You're going to need Cyrus Jones, or whoever, if LeBlanc makes the team, or whoever is going to be in that nickel package is going to be tested. You're going to need Chung, because they have tight ends as well. You have Gresham, you have Fells out there.
Yeah, I mean,
they can play a good high five powered to six receivers out there, and Chris Palmer can sling the football. He'll get it out there. And you mentioned how David Johnson is a cowbell. This guy can also catch it off the backfield and go far with it as well. And the backup for them is Chris Johnson. If you don't have Chris Johnson, you have Andre Ellington, who was originally supposed to be their future for the team. So they have multiple ways they can kill you on offense. And Patriots are really good. They have depth. That's one thing we know. They have depth, and their depth's really going to be tested week one on the defensive side.
I mean, yeah.
No, go ahead.
I mean, I'm just thinking again about, you know, Patriots on defense. We're talking about how this is going to be a huge test for Jimmy Garoppolo. But if you look at defensively one more time, and I talked about this guy, you said about him as well, Larry Fitzgerald. Is that where Malcolm Butler is going to be one-on-one most of the time throughout that game?
Yeah.
Is that going to be a tough matchup for them? Because you're talking about a savvy veteran and Larry Fitzgerald was going to be a huge test for Malcolm Butler.
You have to have Butler on Fitzgerald, and then you have Logan Ryan on Malcolm Foy.
And then on top of that, you still have to worry about the fast and dynamic John Brown making plays down the field.
If he's available, yes, true. If he's available to play, though, he's dealing with the concussion issues right now, so it's still up in the air if he will be even able to play. He hasn't played all preseason with his headaches and concussions. But yeah, John Brown's he's another threat. But that's when you're gonna need a speedy guy like Cyrus Jones or a speedy guy like Coleman. In nickel packages and zone packages to help, you know, defend that. That's why you have McCourty in the backfield. You have Chung out there. So we are equipped on defense. It's going to take a whole team, all 11 guys, like Belichick says, to do their job for us to really maintain this Arizona Cardinals offense.
For sure, man. And I mean, even going back to Chandler Jones, I know you talked about him and saying how he looked really well. That guy, I tell you, I'm going to miss that guy part of his team because I really felt that he was really going to develop into one of the best, you know, pass rushers in the league, and we was going to have him on the Patriots roster. And unfortunately, it didn't work out because at the end of the day, you can only keep so many guys on the team under contract. And, you know, I know one big thing was at the time was who would they pay between Chandler Jones and Jamie Collins and Dont'a Hightower. And we saw the route that the Patriots decided to go in with sending out Chandler Jones and keeping Hightower and Collins. And, I mean, they got a couple guys, you know, to replace Chandler Jones in his absence. You know, Chris Long is supposedly going to step up. And a few of the guys, you know, on the other side of that, you want Rob Ninkovich to come back and be fully healthy and ready to go. But this is a game right here that I mean, do I want to say this is a possible Super Bowl matchup preview or something like that? Who knows, possibly, because out of the top teams in the NFC, I definitely say Arizona's up there. And we already know how the Patriots are going to end up, you know, pretty much every season, one of the top teams in the AFC and in the league. So it's going to be a very, very interesting matchup in week one between the Arizona Cardinals and the New England Patriots.
Definitely. I want to get Alonji in here. I definitely want to hear Alonji's take on what are you looking for on week one in this Patriots-Arizona Cardinals matchup?
Well, I mean, obviously, you want to see how Jimmy Garoppolo does. You want to see how he performs against a real defense, because I think we can all agree that Arizona's a real defense.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that's going to be probably number one. Other than that, though, I mean, there's guys that we still haven't really seen a lot of. You guys mentioned Edelman before. We haven't seen a lot of him, so how rusty is he going to be? We haven't seen Gronk yet. We've seen Martellus Bennett, but we haven't seen him on the field with Gronk, right? So I think the offense as a whole, it's going to be really interesting to see how they start to gel in week one. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, I'm excited to see all these different guys that can do all these different things really play together.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
wait for like Jabal Sheard to come back and then like Rob Ninkovich to come back. Then you have all these different guys. Think about like Ninkovich, Sheard, Mingo, Collins, Hightower, all who are roughly the same size and can all kind of do a little bit of everything. Like, how do you defend that defense? You can have, like, everybody standing up. You can have, you know, six guys with their hand on the ground. You can do all sorts of different looks to an offense with stuff like that. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how all those guys gel and play together.
Definitely. And then with those guys you mentioned, then you bring in, you know, Anthony Johnson, Rufus Johnson, Shane McClendon, Chris Long, all those guys coming off the bench just for bringing that depth, as we were saying earlier. It's going to be really fun to see this defense as long as they stay healthy.
I got a question, though. And this is something that's been on my mind. I've been thinking about for a while now. I know the Patriots have arguably the best tight end in the league in Rob Gronkowski. And I know the whole thing with him has been over the last couple seasons, when it comes to preseason, don't play the guy. But we all know this year, Tom Brady's not the starting quarterback, at least for the first four games. So is it just the consensus across the board everywhere that week one's going to come around and Garoppolo and Gronkowski is just going to be clicking on the same page just like that? Or should we be possibly a tad bit worried that this young, kind of unproven quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, is going to have great connection with Rob Gronkowski?
He'll be fine. Honestly, the player that Rob Gronkowski is, he makes it easy for any quarterback. I think Garoppolo's going to look into Gronk maybe a little too much. You know, especially when you're a young quarterback, you like to do checkdowns to tight ends. And Bennett and Gronk are going to get a lot of looks. I think Garoppolo and Gronk will be just fine, honestly. Of course, there might be some miscommunications here and there. But overall, I think Gronk and Garoppolo will be good.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Gronk, even when they cover Gronk, Gronk is pretty much open.
True.
So, and when he gets open, he gets wide open. And when catches the ball in space and things like that. So, I do. I think he'll be all right. I think the two of them will be all right together. I kind of think the same thing about Edelman to a little bit of a lesser degree. But Edelman gets wide open when he, you know what I mean, when he gets open. So, I think as long as Jimmy Garoppolo can hit a wide open receiver in the NFL, I think it's not going to be too much of an issue for him.
With Edelman, I'm definitely want to keep my eyes on him. For the past two games, I haven't seen, you know, the separation yet that Edelman were used to. All of his catches, the play has been right on him. You know, I haven't really seen him be shifty and run after. I haven't seen the yards after the catch yet this preseason, which maybe, you know, he's just preserving himself, but I still want to see more out of Edelman. I haven't seen much. I'm not convinced he's fully healthy yet. You know what I'm saying? I want to really see more. I haven't seen the separation yet.
Yeah, I mean, we're all hoping that Edelman just easily returns to form and looks like the guy from the last couple of seasons who's been a number one elite wide receiver out there with, you know, getting close to 100, over 100 receptions during the season.
I can't hold on, Mike. You go from saying Larry Fitzgerald is a solid receiver, then we speak on Edelman, and you go say number one elite receiver.
Well, I mean, look.
Come on, bro.
I'm literally not trying to disrespect Larry Fitzgerald at all. Larry Fitzgerald, if he had a solid quarterback, a good quarterback, to the time. So now, if he just had a consistent quarterback, Larry Fitzgerald is in stats. I'm talking all-time stats. He's creeping up the charts in a couple different categories. If he just had a consistent, solid quarterback from the time he's been in the league and now. At this point in time, I'm not saying Larry Fitzgerald is losing a step. Larry Fitzgerald is, yes, still an elite quarterback. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald is still an elite wide receiver. He's still top-tier talent. I'm not taking anything away from him. Edelman has just been playing out of his mind. I would say the last couple seasons, a couple times, maybe Edelman's stats have probably been better than Larry Fitzgerald. And that's not Larry Fitzgerald's fault. Can you blame Larry Fitzgerald for that? No, you can't. He's just been playing with shaky quarterbacks. I mean, yes, he has Carson Palmer now. He hasn't had a consistent quarterback like Edelman's had with Tom Brady. But with that being said, no disrespect to Larry Fitzgerald. He definitely is a top-tier wide receiver. And when getting back to Edelman's point, you know, like I said, Edelman has been a top, you know, wide receiver the last couple of seasons, especially in terms of receptions and being reliable. And, you know, like we've seen in these preseason games, you know, he hasn't really shown too much of that Edelman we're used to with his separation and his speed and his elusiveness and just being able to get open for the different plays. Maybe he's not fully healthy. Maybe he's not going all out because it's preseason game. Shoot, maybe Edelman's pissed because Tom Brady's suspended, so he's kind of mad. He's kind of pissed that he doesn't have his guy Brady out there making things happen. So, you know, when Edelman possibly hits the end zone, him and Brady's not having that crazy celebration and Enzo banging helmets or whatnot. Maybe he's going to miss that the first 4 weeks, and he's throwing a little hissy fit about it. Who knows? I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there. But with that being said, I still think the offense will be fine. Edelman should be reliable. You know, we all have this faith in Gronkowski, and I believe having Bennett there too will open up things for Bennett himself and Gronkowski as well. I mean, Amendola is kind of the guy right now that people haven't really talked about and don't really know his situation. But even with Amendola, you have this guy, Chris Hogan, stepping up and looking like a solid option out there for Garoppolo the first 4 weeks. And even Brady, when he comes back, you know, Chris Hogan looks like somebody who could depend on. Looks like he already has Tom Brady's confidence a little bit. So the options, we've talked about this so many times before, the options on offense. Wow.
I'm telling you. So, since it's coming up, Mike, your predictions, game one, week one, New England at Arizona, prime time, 8:30 p.m., NBC. Who comes out with the W first game?
In all honesty, I'm going with the Cardinals. I have to go with the Cardinals just because Garoppolo's not. This is not. You know, Garoppolo's not stepping out there facing the Cleveland Browns or the Buffalo Bills or anything like that. You're talking about legit, possibly one of the top three teams in the NFC, and on top of that, you're playing in their house, which is not going to be easy by any measure. And I mean, a lot of people, all the talk with Jimmy Garoppolo starting his first four games. I don't think anybody ever thought Garoppolo was going to step out there and go 4-0. I don't think anybody believed that. And I think most people that believed that if Garoppolo was going to go 3-1, because we all know the teams they're facing, you know, the next 3 weeks after that, most people feel like if there's going to be a game that he can't win, it's probably going to be this one. Because if I'm correct, the next three games are going to be in Gillette Stadium, right?
Let me check right now. Yes, next three games are in Gillette.
The next three games after this one in Gillette Stadium. So I have a lot of confidence. I mean, mainly because it's the home field advantage, but I feel Garoppolo is still decent enough, you know, to play well. But to start the season off, you're playing one of the top teams in the NFL. It's going to be tough. I'm going to have to say that Arizona Cardinals come out with this victory.
Just give me a score.
Give you a score. I hate predicting scores.
Give me a score.
For this case, I'm going to go possibly a 24-17 Cardinals.
All right. Before I give my prediction, Alonji, I need a score from you. Who do you believe is going to come out and win this game?
You know, the whole time leading up to this, you know, the whole knowing that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the quarterback and things like that, I was thinking, yeah, Cardinals will probably win that game. You know, Chandler Jones will be playing against his old team for the first time, all the emotions and things like that. On the road in Arizona, tough place to play. They got a great defense. We've already mentioned, you know, the Fitzgerald and Floyd, their weapons, David Johnson. But I don't know, man. For some reason, I'm going to pick the Patriots. I'm going to say 17
wow.
to 16 Patriots.
Like a one-point win.
Defensive win, 17-16 Patriots.
Alonji goes with the Patriots, 17-16. And you know what, Mike? I'm going with the Patriots, too.
Wow, you guys
win next week, 21-19. I think our defense is going to come out and rock the show. And do I think Garoppolo and the Patriots are going to go 4-0? No, I believe when we face, you know, our divisions, either Dolphins or Bills, teams that know us better, know our personnel more, one of those teams are going to beat us. But I think we have a chance against the Cardinals with this defense, and we're really going to shock everyone on Sunday night, September 11th, against the Cardinals.
So y'all are telling me, both of you, Mike and Mark, you guys are telling me these first four games, the hardest one out of the first four, the Patriots are winning on the road against one of the best teams in the NFL. So you guys got the Patriots going 4-0. Please tell me that.
You just ignored what I just said.
You guys definitely. I'm just such in shock. I'm just showing shock. of what I'm hearing from you guys right now. You guys both have the Patriots going 4-0 in these first four games?
No, I don't. I don't.
Who are they losing to?
I think they could potentially. I mean, Marv said it. You could drop a game to Buffalo. You could drop that. You could drop that game to Houston. I mean, I think the divisional games are the ones you got to worry about. If you're playing, you know, the Dolphins, who could potentially on any given day, you know, just have it. Their offense, they got a couple of explosive players. If Tannehill has a good game and their defense gets sacks, they could beat you. Buffalo, same thing. They've got a couple guys who can make some things happen. Obviously, LeSean McCoy. So I think one of those teams could win that game.
Yep.
But I think 3-1 is not out of the question. 3-1 for sure.
3-1, and I watched Arizona play this year. That they, if you look at them, they weren't so hot in the preseason. Carson Palmer didn't look like he was. They lost all three preseason games. First of all, they lost to Oakland, San Diego, Houston. Three teams that did not make the playoffs last year. So, I mean, no, just preseason, but they haven't looked good. John Brown's still a question mark. I have the Patriots, man. I'm sorry. I know you got David Johnson on your fantasy team. You want to see him ball out, but I
what
have the Patriots rocking it.
Hey, man, here's what I'm saying. 3-1, they lose to the Cardinals, but look, Patriots home field advantage is like none other, I feel like. And I know it's Garoppolo out there, but the way we've hyped up this defense these past 4 weeks for preseason, the way we've talked about this defense, the way we've talked about this offense, and the way we all know that the next three teams on the schedule after the Cardinals are much far less competition, I feel like the Patriots are in a good position to beat those three teams. But for this game, playing in Arizona with the Cardinals offense, the Cardinals defense, and you're on the road, I don't think it's going to be as easy for the Patriots. 3-1 for me, yes, but it's going to be a loss to the Cardinals, and then Garoppolo and the Patriots take care of work at home.
I mean, no one can argue with you with that statement, Mike. That's it's great analysis. You're playing it safe. And, of course, you're playing it safe.
I said I'm playing it safe. Don't play the lottery, Marv.
It's safe, bro. If you want to go safe, go ahead. I'm just letting you know that I really think the Pats are going to do something Sunday night with this defense. I don't remember the last time. Well, when we had Revis and Browner, it looked good, and I was excited about this, but I'm really excited about this defense, man. I'm really excited about it. And we'll see. There's no more preseason talk. The season is finally upon us, man. And I'm so excited. I'm pretty much jumping up and down in my seat right now. I just can't wait to see this defense. But, Mike Nice, I know you know what time it is.
Oh, yeah. This is the time of the show where we give out the sorry of – I mean, not the sorry. We're not doing sorries, right? We don't have sorry.
No, we don't have a sorry. It's the fourth preseason game. We don't, no sorries. We're excited
no
for sorry, the season
sorry.
To come up.
Okay, well, for this game, we have the stars of the game. And, I mean, DJ Mees, like we've both been saying, this is the fourth preseason game. But still, in limited time or whatever time they got, some players – had big performances for the New England Patriots. So I'm going to head to the Twitter poll and look at what we had. And we had a couple different options for possible stars of this game. But wow, looking at the vote, the Twitterverse, the Twitter universe voted, and we had a tie, DJ Mees, for the star of the game. You had a tie. Tom Brady and Barcavius Mingo finished at the top of the list as the star of the game. In second place came DJ Foster. And then some other people voted for some other big-time performances. But, yeah, Tom Brady and Barcavius Mingo at the top of the list here as stars of the game.
I mean, Patriots fans always won't pick Tom Brady regardless. Brady could have you put Brady on that list with three interceptions and we win the game, Brady might still be the star of the game.
Man, you put Tom Brady on the ballot for president. Tom Brady getting a lot of votes.
so let's give it to the newcomer, man. Let's give it to Mingo. You know, coming out, we really didn't know what we would see out of him. He forced two fumbles. You can't back to back too. Like it was amazing to see. I'm excited to. I hope he makes the team. I think he should, and he'll definitely be big on special teams. And we'll see what he can do on the defensive squad as well.
Oh, yeah, man. We'll see. Week one coming up. Can't wait, DJ Mees. Arizona Cardinals. It's going down. It's going down.
Definitely. So, Mike Nice, you ready for week one, bro?
I'm ready to go, man. I'm excited to see, you know, all the starters on the field. I'm excited to hopefully see Jimmy Garoppolo lead the way and hopefully bring some wins. And I'm just ready for another successful season for the New England Patriots. And hopefully, you know, they're playing football deep into January and possibly February as well.
Definitely. Preseason has been fun, but now it's time to kick it up a notch. You'll hear from us right after the game next Sunday night. This is the post-game show, and it will be available for on-demand download by searching for the CLNS Radio New England Patriots post-game show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. Today's show was brought to you by Casper Mattresses. www.casper.com/Celtics for $50 off any mattress purchase and Blue Apron. That's blueapron.com/CelticsBeat for three free meals with free shipping. Want to thank everyone who tuned in today. For CLNS Patriots content manager, Michael Longy, my co-host, Mike Nice, I am
yes, sir.
Marvin Azan. See everyone back here the following Sunday when the Patriots take on the Arizona Cardinals. Good
ready
night,
to go.
Everyone.
We're ready to go. Can't wait. Let's go, Patriots.